The federal government is raising fresh doubts about the medical evacuation of refugees and asylum seekers to Australia, this time saying they may not be able to be sent back after their treatment. The Attorney General, Christian Porter, says he has legal advice from the government's Solicitor General about that, and we'll hear from him after 7:30 this morning. That's not the only potential legal complication either. The government of Nauru, we've learnt this week, has just passed laws that will ban a medical transfer committee from looking at evidence from doctors who consult patients over the phone or over the internet, telemedicine. One of the groups running exactly that kind of telehealth service on Nauru is Médecins Sans Frontières. Its workers were barred from the island in October last year, you'll remember, but MSF is now providing remote psychological assistance. Dr. Christine Rufner is a clinical psychologist who was working for Médecins Sans Frontières on Nauru and now helps run this telehealth program. Christine Rufner, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
How does this new telemedicine service work, Christine? What's the nature and the scope of the psychological conditions you're dealing with there on Nauru?
We know from our work on the island that most patients are suffering from symptoms of depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, and some conditions so severe that they're experiencing psychosis, self-harm, and incidents of suicidal ideation and suicide attempts. We were forced to abandon our patients in October. The only option we had left to commit to our duty of care was to start a telehealth program to access our patients by phone, to check in how they're doing and try to continue to provide them psychological support. We know that they're suffering. It's only been a couple of weeks since our program started, but the messages we have heard from our patients is that their conditions have gotten worse over time.
Okay, so the Nauru government has now passed this law just last week banning the committee from considering, that's their health committee, from considering telehealth medical consultations. Is this going to impact MSF's ability to run your program?
Our primary focus, as always, is on patient care. So our goal of this program is taking care of our patients, fulfilling our medical and ethical obligations. So we will continue to do that and support our patients.
Under this law, will you be allowed to continue to consult over through telehealth?
There's no rule or law saying that we cannot speak with our former patients. So we will continue to do so. At times, patients can be seen, their conditions are so severe that we're obligated medically to recommend some sort of evacuation because their treatment cannot happen on Nauru. We know that from our time there, what the facilities are. So when we know they need to be evacuated, we will have to say that.
Will these laws make it harder for sick people to be evacuated? It would seem as though they will.
It seems as though. We haven't seen how these laws are going to be operationalized, so we're really curious how that's going to play out. But in the meantime, our focus remains on patient care.
Okay. Meanwhile, today, we have this news from the Federal Attorney General saying he has urgent legal advice from the Solicitor General from the government solicitor that Australia's medevac laws do not make it legally possible to send asylum seekers and refugees back to Manus Island and Nauru after treatment, that is, when they're well. Is that what doctors and advocates were hoping for anyway?
Well, what we've identified is that the conditions of this policy make recovery from mental health conditions impossible. So regardless of where people are, when they're living under these conditions of hopelessness, of not having control over their future, they will continue to be sick, whether that's on Nauru and whether that's on Christmas Island.
So tell me more about that. Why do you say, so evacuating people for medical health, you say for medical attention, is not going to work? What are you saying?
What I'm saying is that people still living under this policy of indefinite detention, where they don't have control over their lives, where they're kept in detention or detention-like setting, Christmas Island is a detention center. Nauru was where they were detained for 2 years. When people are re-exposed continuously to a place where they were traumatized by detention, recovery from mental health conditions is not possible, or at least highly improbable. So even if people receive medical attention under these conditions, they need to be moved to a safe and secure place where they can have access to comprehensive mental health treatment over time.
And you're saying Christmas Island is not that place?
Christmas Island is a detention center. There's a strong body of scientific literature showing that detention centers make people psychologically sick and increase suicide attempts among people. That is not a place of healing or recovery.
Have you or any of your colleagues been able to speak to any of the detainees on Manus or on Nauru, rather, where you're working, about this notion of them being transferred to perhaps Christmas Island for medical health?
Our program is quite new, so we're just starting to see our patients. I can say that in the past few days, I've received some distressing messages from our patients begging us somehow to help them not be sent to Christmas Island. This was a place where they experienced trauma. 60% of our patients reported that detention was a source of trauma for them, and most of them were detained on Christmas Island already. The idea of going back to a place where they were originally traumatized for people who are highly vulnerable and are exhibiting extreme symptoms of psychological distress, this is very worrisome for them and causing a lot of distress.
What about the concept of whether they could get appropriate medical care on Christmas Island? Do you believe they could?
I don't believe that people can recover in a detention center, that people can recover in a detention-like setting. People need freedom to move. They need control over their lives. They need comprehensive treatment where they can have access to their family, access to mental health care, comprehensively to the community. And I don't believe that Christmas Island can offer that.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 5 minutes to seven. Our guest is Dr. Christine Rufner. She's a clinical psychologist with Médecins Sans Frontières. She's previously worked on Nauru till MSF were kicked out last October. And now they've set up this telehealth support service, and Christine is part of that. The Australian government says there are 60 medical professionals on Nauru at the moment. Christine, the Attorney General Christian Porter said this week that's one for every seven people held on the island. You were working there last year. How do you judge the medical system? How good is it?
Mm-hmm. What we witness ourselves is that there's a lot of turnover of staff. There's rotation of staff. And for mental health treatment, you need consistency. You need to be able to build trust with patients. And when you have staff rotating out frequently, that trust cannot be built. Moreover, our patients told us that they had difficulty trusting the authorities there and the services there because they weren't independent. They were contracted by the Australian government, and the Australian government is responsible for keeping them there. So they were missing trust. They were missing consistency of care. There is not sufficient facilities for severe mental health patients. There's only 3 inpatient beds run by IHMS, and often those beds were full. So patients who are in need of extreme mental health care were not able to access it on the island.
So would you say, from your experience being there last year, there are people there who need critical psychological care?
Absolutely. We had more than 200 active patients when we were forced to leave, and we had 100 patients on our waiting list. Since we've established telehealth, we've been contacted by 40 people on the island asking for help. If the facilities, if the treatment on Nauru were sufficient, I don't think we'd be hearing from so many patients.
Under the law passed just last week by the federal parliament, is MSF now participating in trying to sign off, getting 2 doctors to sign off on emergency evacuation plans?
Our primary focus is always on the best well-being of our patients. That's our ethical obligation to our patients.
So you are engaging in this process of trying to sign the paperwork to get people, the first steps of getting people off?
We're engaged in the process of telehealth. When we're collect information from our patients, at times we determine that their conditions are so severe that recovery treatment is not tenable in the place where they are, that they need to be moved to a location where they can receive more comprehensive treatment than is available on the island. So in those cases, it's our medical obligation to advocate for those patients.
There's a report in the Daily Telegraph today that says 2 medical practitioners from NSF were caught by PNG authorities using tourist visas trying to gain access to Men on Manus Island. Can you confirm that? And is that a sign that NSF will go to any length to try and get medical transfers to this country under the new law?
I really wish the Daily Telegraph had contacted us before publishing this to get the facts straight, because I can say that the details of the story are not true. MSF has a project on PNG. We've been operating there for many years. We are concerned about the situation in Manus because of the reports that we hear and from what we know about the effects of detention on people's health. We have had discussions with the Minister of Immigration and the Minister of Health to see about how we can collaborate together in an open and transparent way to access Manus Island in some sort of authorized way. But we have not tried to access those patients in any kind of unauthorized
way.
So
it's not true that 2 doctors from MSF were caught using tourist visas to get into Manus?
No, that's not true.
So you haven't had doctors thrown off the island?
No, that's not true.
Okay. And do you have access to Manus at the moment?
We are in ongoing discussions with the Minister of Immigration and the Minister of Health to see if accessing Manus Island would be a good idea for all of us.
Just finally, Christine Rufner, if under these new laws, if people are brought to the mainland, people with the psychological issues that you've outlined here today, which you say are quite extreme, do you believe it is ever going to be appropriate for those people to be then fixed, made well again, and sent back to Manus, to Nauru?
The people that we've seen, that we've treated, are very sick, and they've been made sick by this policy of indefinite detention, by being kept in limbo for years and years and not being able to live a full life. That full life is not possible under the setting of Nauru, under the conditions of this policy. They need to be in a place where they can have access to mental health care and rebuild their lives under permanent resettlement.
So that's no.
That's a no.
Christine, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Fran.
Dr. Christine Rufner, clinical psychologist with Médecins Sans Frontières. She previously worked on Nauru last year and helped set up MSF's new telehealth support services.